This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Aero. Never think about Wi-Fi again when you can have brilliant, hyper-fast, super simple Wi-Fi systems with Aero. And now, the second generation Aero is tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor. For free overnight shipping, visit Eero, that's Aero.com, Eero.com, and at checkout, select overnight shipping, and then enter the code Current Geek.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, Geeks of the World, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. My name is Scott Johnson, and that is Tom Merritt. Hello.
Hello, Scott Johnson. It is good to be back in the saddle doing a regular edition of Current Geek again. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody, for all the feedback on the special Current Geek Film Fest episode that we did. Most of you seemed to really like it. A couple of you guys didn't like it. We enjoy hearing from all of you and getting all that feedback.
Yeah, it was nice, though, to get... I thought it'd be like 60-40. We got like 98% of people liking it, which made me very happy. So... we'll see what we'll do in the future. We'll let you guys know plenty of an advance warning on how we're going to do it, what changes we might make. But it was really fun, and I'm glad it landed for a lot of you. And, again, thank you, everybody, for your awesome feedback. Well, it wouldn't be a normal episode of Current Geek if we didn't have guests here. So it is my pleasure to announce the following people. we have with us, first of all, Stacey Chamberlain. She is the co-host of Climb Out to Sobriety at theclimboutnetwork.com, a brand new network, works with her husband, Hammond, and among other fine professionals in the area of rehab and sobriety. Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you here. I'm really jazzed about your whole project, and a little bit later in the show, we'll dedicate some time talking a little bit more about what you guys are planning to do, but very, very excited for you guys, what you got going on.
Great, thanks. We're really excited too.
Doing good in the world, I say.
Yeah. For sure.
Never hurts. Also with us, Eric Dow. He is a director and editor, and specifically director of Honor in the Valley of Tears, which right now is doing a really cool charity for Hurricane Harvey victims. Eric's in a car, and he's at a football game, and he's here. Hi, Eric. Hi.
Go Owls.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. How are you?
It's good to have you here, man. Now, who are you? I know you're rooting for the Owls, but who's playing? Is this a kid of yours or something?
My daughter is on the cheer team.
Oh, that's great.
The Pee-wee cheer team. So this is just the high school, so they're supporting. So.
Oh, well, look at that. Being a good dad.
Local football.
Yeah. Yeah, being a good dad and spending it in your car talking to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it. And it's good to have you here. We'll talk more about that film and what you guys are working on with Harvey Relief. But before we get to any of those things... Tom, we have these headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what happened since last we spoke?
Well, in defiance of the convention of local news, we're going to start with sports. Investigators for Major League Baseball determined that the Boston Red Sox stole hand signals given by opponents' catchers. A complaint was filed by the Red Sox rivals, the New York Yankees, showing a video of a Red Sox training staff member looking at an Apple Watch and then getting other players in the dugout to signal to the batter what pitch to expect. The Red Sox admitted that video replay personnel were messaging the trainer in question. So he's getting it from the video replay box, telling people in the dugout, who then would send a hand signal to the batter. Now the Red Sox contend, well, the Yankees use the camera from their own Yes Network broadcast team to steal signs. So we're not the only ones cheating. Mm. Stealing signs, however, is not illegal. What is illegal is to use anything besides your eyes to do it. So the guy on second base can try to steal signs all day long and try to signal the batter. You can't use binoculars. You certainly can't use an Apple Watch.
So Eric, I heard you say the word genius. Don't you feel like we're entering a time where there are so many cameras and so many places and so many ways to communicate and so easy a manner that this just is the way it is, and they got to adjust the rules or something. They got to figure out a better way.
You know what? I was fired up to talk about this because people and teams and players and coaches and organizations have been stealing signs since 18-whatever baseball was invented, okay? And the bottom line is now they're using, you know, a little bit of technology. It's like this is not – like you said, it's not illegal. It happens. Some of the biggest plays in the history of baseball came from stolen signs.
Mm.
So it's just part of the game. If you're going to be, you know, in the game, it's not that big of a deal. It's kind of
up
funny.
Up your game.
Yeah, up your game.
Yeah, up it. Change your signals. Like, get creative. You know, there's got to be, where there's a will, there's a way. Stop being a baby about it.
You know, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. I'm a big baseball fan. And I understand that, you know, at a time when binoculars were new, the idea that one team could use these newfangled thing to steal signs is an unfair advantage, and that should be outlawed. These days, everybody's got access to all the same technology, so you just need to battle it with technology. I'm right there with you. I am somewhat of a baseball traditionalist, but yeah,
it's not
up your
steroids.
Game. Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. And you can use technology to signal from the catcher to the pitcher, right? Use a little wireless device. Maybe have somebody on the sidelines who's telling the pitcher in an earpiece and the catcher at the same time. You know, use some machine learning to decide what pitch to throw next. I don't know. It probably all sounds horrible to people who hate the designated hitter. I get that. But it's the world. It's the world we're in.
Okay, so
you know what? That's a great idea because, you know, you've got – what if you could – they could invent – a microphone that goes in the pitcher's glove and he could radio the catcher. I got a high heater coming in. You're not going to be able to see his lips. That's perfect. That's a beautiful
right?
idea.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
They can even do kind of a Morse code through something that just vibrates on the catcher's hand. So he just feels it.
Yeah. Little haptic buttons.
Like casino when they were counting cards.
Yeah.
And they're doing the tap thing.
I was just thinking of casino as well. So what you guys are suggesting or what I'm taking from this, and Stacey, clarify if I'm wrong, but it seems like we're saying let's lean into it. Let's not try to figure out ways to avoid it or to make every possible electronic transmission illegal, but let's figure out ways to say just go all in, make it part of the process. We're not saying cork your bats. We're not saying, you know, spit on the ball. We're not saying any of these other common cheatery things to do. We're not saying throw the game for gambling purposes. We're just saying we live in an ultra communications world. You may as well take one extra step towards Blurn's ball.
Let's be honest. If it's not going to be the person, if it's not going to be the players in the game, they're going to have somebody probably in the audience. And what are they going to do? Start making everybody check their cell phones at the gate when you go in to do it? They're going to plant somebody with some type of technology somewhere in the stands if they really want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of plant, how do we know that this is not a marketing ploy by Apple?
Oh, see?
Hey, we don't know anything.
At this point, we don't know anything, and I think what you said is as likely as any other scenario. But I just say lean into it. Like, let's just go all the way. If you're going to – otherwise, I mean, this is maybe like Scott saying, just have everyone take steroids, then they're all on an even field. And I realize that's a slippery slope. I get it.
Every fan – I'm surprised this hasn't happened. Every fan in the stadium can see what the catcher is putting down for a sign. Right?
Yeah.
How are they not all chanting fastball?
Right. Why aren't they?
You still got to hit it.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And knowing what's coming doesn't guarantee you're going to get a hit. It just raises the potential.
Yeah. This is more of it's a traditionalist thing. And I get that. And I respect those people and I want them to have their way. But I also think that maybe we should just relax a little and live in the century we're in. It's fine. It's not 1850 anymore.
All right, pacemakers from the company Abbott have been recalled by the U.S. Federal Drug Administration. Software vulnerabilities would have allowed an attacker to drain the batteries of the pacemaker or even change pre-programmed settings, including beats or rhythms, which is really dangerous. A firmware update to patch the vulnerabilities cannot be done over the air, though. It requires a visit to the doctor. The Accent, Anthem, Accent MRI, Accent ST, Assurity, and Allure models are all affected. Pacemakers manufactured from August 28th on already contain the security patch. So if you got one after August 28th, it should be fine.
So I already did a little bit of a freak out on your Daily Tech News show last Wednesday about this very story. And, you know, we discussed it and have lots to say about what it meant and what it could mean and all this other sort of stuff. But it's one thing to say, hey, your new Bluetooth speaker set has a problem with the firmware. We need to update it over the air. That'll mean you have to reboot it and it's all fine. Okay, good. Great. Thanks for supporting your product. It's a whole nother thing to say that this device that is in my chest cavity designed
to reboot your heart.
Yeah, it's literally making my heart beat on time. and you've got to do some sort of firmware upgrade. And Tom, this is going to require, like, you got to go to your doctor. You don't just plug this into a USB port.
It's only going to take a few minutes because there is a chance that during the update process, the pacemaker may stop. And if that happens, you want to be right next to your doctor.
See, this is a whole new meeting. Sounds like
somebody saw an episode of Homeland from a few years ago where they whack out the vice president.
Yeah.
This gives a whole new meaning of going to the doctor because you have a virus, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kind of virus do I have? And not only that, I think anybody who's got a pacemaker might want to think twice before they make any of their family members angry.
No kidding. You got to all stay nice and calm. Plus this whole idea, the reason it's scary is because somebody with malicious intent, although this hasn't happened yet, but somebody could, in theory, walk into a huge crowd of people where a certain number of them might have pacemakers, and in theory, cause all those pacemakers to stop, and that'd be real bad. Like, that'd be a terrible thing. So I'm all about them fixing this.
It could be real dangerous because if you go into a nursing home because people are trying to get in and there's no rooms available, you send a guy in there with a machine and hit a button, you're gonna be clearing some space.
I'm not saying it's a pleasant thought, but it's certainly a practical thought.
Sure. Yeah, you take all the emotion and humanity out of it. It's actually not a bad practical idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes.
Also, apartments in New York, I have a feeling.
They're in there rent locked for the last 40 years. It's time to move grandma out of there. But, like, here's what I said the other day, and I stand by this. This is how they fix it. They start to think more and more in the biomedical field about how electronic devices are becoming a part of our lives, whether it be pacemakers or brain implants or whatever they end up being, and it's going to become more and more common. They've got to come up with better ways to flash update or create patches to these devices that don't stop them or require reboots or reinitialization.
Yeah, update in place is really essential here.
Yes. So however that is, whatever that technology is or whatever method you need to do it, maybe they can learn from the video game business. That happens all the time with games, real-time patches and updates that happen without you even noticing. Doesn't interrupt service at all, and it didn't used to be that way. I know it's a long throw from video games to biotech, but I just think there's something there, and they're going to have to think about that more, because if it's an intelligent system on some level, somebody somewhere is going to try to hack it and make your day bad.
Yeah.
So,
U.S. District Judge David Nuffer has ruled that state regulators violated the First Amendment by fining the Broovies Theater $25,000 for serving beer during Deadpool. The law in Utah prohibited serving alcohol while showing simulated sex or full frontal nudity. Now, the law is aimed at strip clubs, but has been applied to movie theaters in this case. Ryan Reynolds actually donated $5,000 to the theater to help defray their legal expenses.
Yeah, this has been a big hoo-ha around here. People have been flipping out about it. Broovies has been around for a while. They're one of the first theaters I can remember where they were like, hey, we're not just a theater, we're also this social place, and there's drinks there, and we have these festivals and old movies, and now you see that stuff happening a lot and around the country and stuff, and I don't know. I felt like they were kind of pioneers there. So nobody thought this was fair, and to call, you know, to lump them in with strip clubs is weird, first of all. I think a lot of that stuff just needs to be looked at. We have a lot of weird laws here that do eventually kind of get sussed out and properly placed, but it takes a little while. Stacey, you're also a local. What's your take on this thing?
I 100% agree with you. I mean, we've gone to Broovies, and it's a movie theater, and it's honestly, I'm not a Utah native, so moving here has always been a bit of a shock. And they do oftentimes change these laws, but sometimes it's to replace them with another stranger law.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like it's religious.
It generally speaking is. I mean, we have a pretty conservative culture. I mean, it's not like a dry county style deal that you'd get in parts of Pennsylvania or something, but
it's a money train too.
It is a money train. Yeah. Who controls it? Where the money goes. It's a, you know, Utah liquor stores are run by the state government like it is in some other states. But the big thing here is we had this thing for a long time where you had to be a member of a club to get certain kinds of alcohol over a certain proof. So if you went to a bar they had to make you a member of that club before you could then buy that alcohol and the amount you wanted at your table and that sort of thing.
Nacogdoches did that too in Texas, I remember. Yes. I had to become a member.
Very common thing. Yeah, went around for a long time. Now, that no longer exists here. You don't have to do this anymore. But it was so dumb because what people would do is they'd go to a restaurant that served alcohol and they'd say, oh, hi, are you a member? No. Okay, well, you're one now. They just sit down and get it.
I know.
It was super stupid. Yeah, it didn't do anything that it was supposed to do, and it just made everybody look dumb. So I do think history's a rising road on some of these draconian laws, but this, and I don't even drink or care, but in this particular case, they tried to saddle Broovies with something that wasn't theirs.
Well, this was a law where they were basically, if I have this right, when it was originally put in place, they were trying to keep strip clubs from being totally nude. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, you can't serve booze and have the girls be totally nude. You're going to have at least put G-strings or something else. And so that has been on the books and been on the books. And then somebody got the idea of figuring out how to make $25,000 off Broovies by going, hey, wait a minute. they fit the definition of an entertainment place that's doing this.
Yeah, I think that's
the movie business is in enough trouble as it is, people. Let's pump the brakes.
Yeah,
pump them and don't burn them. Also,
I think the sad thing is Broovies has been attacked previously too. Though there's definitely a couple people out there who are out to get them.
Oh yeah.
So this is definitely the big headline one, and thankfully they were able to fight it in court and win. Mm-hmm. But you know, they definitely have been targeted around here.
I mean, they have a silly name, but that doesn't mean they deserve all of this.
No, and I agree with you on the name. But also, it's like, here's Salt Lake City news. This is what we get nationally. We get Broovies lawsuits. We get that cop treating that nurse like crap and arresting her. So that made international freaking news. And then the other thing was like the what's her name, Elizabeth Smart case. Outside of that, that's pretty much it. We're a nice, quiet town, you know. We do what we got to do, and we usually don't make too much of a mess. Sundance, exactly. And Sundance is awesome, and you can drink up there to your heart's content. You don't have to be a member of a club, so good luck.
Diners at KPRO in Hangzhou, China, now have the opportunity to pay by smile. Yum China runs KPRO and has partnered with Ant Financial on the system. Registered users smile for facial recognition and then enter their phone number. The smile and the phone number are measures to prevent fraud. So you smile to show you're, you know, a human that's moving, and then the phone number is just like a second factor. KPRO, if you're wondering, is a concept store. They served baked chicken and locally grown vegetables. It's being tested by Yum China as sort of a high-end KFC, because Yum China runs KFC and Taco Bell in China.
Mm. So, Eric, you wanna just go ahead and have your face recognized in order to pay by the smile? How do you feel about this kind of deal?
It's a bit weird, but it seems like that's where the world is heading, to a really weird technological place. And you know, if it's going to prevent someone from stealing my $7 for chicken, I guess I'm all for it.
I mean, I'm happy to have Yum test this out. Like, let's have them do this in China, and then maybe bring it over here.
I mean, if you're going to smile for Kentucky Fried Chicken, I don't know.
Well, if you have $1 million smile, does that mean you just get the entire restaurant?
Well, maybe. What if I have $1 million grimace when I buy chicken at KFC?
Then you end up at McDonald's.
I mean, and no offense to KFC. They're a fine establishment. Their commercials are really funny. I don't like your chicken. It's as simple as that. So I'm probably not going to go there. But anyway, it's an interesting thing. I always feel like Asia's ahead of us on this stuff. I know we do facial recognition stuff here in Europe also, but like when people are doing NFC style payments or using their phones to buy things.
The Chinese market is way ahead of us in payments, in getting rid of, they're not even using apps anymore. All the apps are now inside of Alibaba or WhatsApp or one of these big platform providers. And mobile payments are huge. So I'm not surprised they're testing it there.
Yeah. I mean, not that all that stuff will come over, but it always feels like it you know, eventually we ended up getting
stickers in our messaging apps.
We sure did. Thank goodness, because our long national nightmare ended that day. Yeesh.
All right. Y'all didn't really vote up talking about Colin Trevorrow getting fired from episode 9 of Star Wars, but we do have some Disney news. Disney CEO Bob Iger announced that Disney will make its Star Wars and Marvel movies part of that exclusive new video streaming service that they're launching in late 2019. That's the one where they already said it's going to have Disney movies, Disney TV shows, Pixar movies. Now it's also going to have Star Wars movies and Marvel movies.
Okay, so that's now official.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. But yeah. So Eric, what do you think the impact of that is? Is it the first real Netflix competitor? I mean, the rest of them are all doing okay too, but this must be a real threat to them.
Well, you know, again, trouble. And why give someone else who's now competing for the dollar your films that you've spent hundreds of millions of dollars making and promoting? So it just makes sense that they're going to open their own. But I don't want to skip over the director getting fired.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We shouldn't do that. It's like, you know what that's like? It's like Vader taking out all of his like Nazi general guys one by one and telling them they're in charge now. That's what this feels like. They just keep dropping directors and adding new ones. It's freaking me out. Yes. So what's your take on that?
But I read a couple of articles on this subject, and, you know, Kathleen Kennedy is in charge, and she's a really smart, very powerful liberal woman, a really good track record of success. So if you're getting fired from one of her movies, you are an incredibly difficult person, and you're probably not, you know, great to work with. And she's not going to really tolerate that. And from what I've heard, what is his name? Colin Trevorrow?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Team that got fired off the Han Solo movies were really difficult and tyrannical in their egotism. And, you know, again, this isn't the 60s and the 50s where you can act like that anymore. I mean, even the 70s and 80s, that time has passed. So you've got to be, you're handed a Star Wars franchise. The amount of weight and pressure that brings, I would think would make you an insecure mess, not an egotistical dickhead.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I mean, what's weird is in both cases, the Han Solo movie, which was the brothers who did the Lego movie and some other things, and then in, I forget their names, but in this one,
Lord Miller.
There you go. Well, they weren't brothers, are they? It was just partners or whatever yeah. They are. Anyway,
brother-like.
Then you got Trevorrow did his big thing is the Jurassic World movie. It always feels like it's these guys who were smaller and got big breaks, and now this is their next thing because they showed promise or whatever. And then they get fired for these reasons or whatever reasons there are. And they end up bringing these old school guys like Ron Howard for Han Solo. And who knows what's happening? Actually, do we know on the new one? We don't know yet.
No, you have one example of an old school guy being brought in.
Yeah, so I guess, that's not a trend yet, is it? It's just
not a lot of data.
One old school guy who happens to be one of the nicest directors on planet Earth.
Yeah,
mind you.
Yeah, I keep hearing that too.
Now, it surprises me what you're saying about Trevorrow, because I had thought his reputation was he's the company man. Like, you know, with Jurassic World, they said this is where you go, and he went and took his marching orders. So I guess I was under
Spielberg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, you know, it was huge hit. So what does that do to a guy's ego? You start reading your own, believing your own press. It kind of goes to your head. Mm. He did this other smaller movie, and it was a total bomb. Mm. And you know, these guys, they can be very difficult to work with, and it's not fun. It doesn't make the movie set fun. It doesn't make the crew happy. It doesn't make the producers happy. You know, it's hard enough. This business is hard enough to deal with. Than having to deal with people who behave like this.
Sure.
So Kathleen Kennedy, I think what we're saying here is you want a nice director, someone who's friendly, goes to local sports games, and still does a podcast out of his car.
Yeah, why not? I know a guy. Talking to him right now, in fact.
Oh, my God.
The other thing I would say is the Ron Howard deal, nice guy, right? That's awesome. Been in the business forever. Lots of respect across the industry. But it's also the only way we ever get a Clint Howard cameo in a Star Wars movie. So I am stoked about that. I'm really excited about that. Stacey, anything you want to add to this ridiculous film business? I mean, it does feel like they're dropping like flies, but maybe this is all good in the end. Better products being made. Who knows?
I don't have a whole lot to add, but I have to say with the new channel, the new Disney channel, I think I'm most concerned that my I cut cable and our bill is creeping back up with all the channels we have to subscribe to, but the way it goes.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. Like, it's getting to that point. If you have enough $15, $10 subscriptions, you realize you're back to the reason that you had to quit cable in the first place, and you have to kind of start picking and choosing. Tom's made a pretty good argument for me in the past about why this choice is good, and having these options pop up and having some leave the comforts of Netflix or Hulu and do their own thing is actually a good thing. It doesn't change how much choice we have. We're not getting the thing we think we want, which is one place and all the stuff. And Tom, you've argued to me before, well, that was cable.
Yeah.
And
the complaint then was you didn't have control. Now you'll have control. You can decide which of these things you want. And we haven't reached the final form of any of this yet. Yeah. Right now, everybody's trying stuff, which means we have way too many services and they're way too spread out. Eventually, we'll figure out, okay, these are the ones that are successful. These are the ones people want. There'll be a little more consolidation. And then we'll have a new normal.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Tom. I like this because, you know, my poor aunt, who's pushing 70, is paying almost $200 a month for her cable and her internet. And I said, you know, cancel this, and I'll get you Hulu and Netflix.
Yeah.
You'll spend $20 plus $50 for your internet. You're gonna save $100 right there, and you can all you have to do is basically be able to watch your shows the day after they air.
Yeah,
essentially, and or you'd be able to binge watch shows and catch up on stuff that you've been hearing about, and you don't have to. That's $100 a month. That's dollars a year for someone who's on Social Security. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Huge difference. Yeah, get her an antenna or even just CBS News app, which is free for things like local news. Done.
Yep. Yep, there you go.
For sure. Well, all right. These are all fine stories. And they always are fine stories, partly because the people who help us gather them are fine people. And Tom, we could probably call a few out. Who helped us out this week?
Well, absolutely. Piscator NF, Candrius, Captain Kipper, Wayne Something, and I Am Sci-Fi all submitted stories that we use today from currentgeek.reddit.com. Huge appreciation to everybody who gets in there and either submits stories or votes on them. We need your votes as well. So head on over there to currentgeek.reddit.com. And big thanks to our mods. We don't give them enough appreciation for keeping that place tidy and making it work.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things we like to do here on the show is give our guests a chance to talk about current projects they're working on, things they're passionate about, stuff that's happening with what they do. And we'll start with Stacey this week. There's a brand new cool thing happening right there, Stacey. You want to tell us a little bit about it and where people can find it?
Yeah, we have just launched the Climb Out Network, and our podcast is Climb Out to Sobriety. We are working to create an online sober living community. Some people are asking if it's similar to AA. It is a community. It is meant to support people in their sobriety or they're trying to achieve sobriety or whatever their needs are. But there are all different paths that people can take. It really is just meant to be a community to help support people. We feel very fortunate. We have, Hammond's worked over 20 years in and around corrections and substance abuse. And we have some great therapists that are working with us to do the shows. We're providing education, information. We're going to have a support. Like I said, we're really trying to get a community going, support community, as well as we are hoping to do webinars with our therapists to further help people to get that care, that aftercare, which is really expensive and difficult to get. And, oftentimes when people are in crisis and they're at risk for using, they can't wait till next Tuesday at 3 o'clock to meet somebody. They need help now. They need to talk to other people in the moment. And so we're really hoping that this online community is going to help people bring like-minded individuals together and be a positive experience to help people with their sobriety.
So you hear a constant, I feel like anyway, a constant stream of the term opioid epidemic on the news and in lots of other places. Do you suspect that a lot of the help and care you'll be giving via this show and via the network will impact that? Or is that, I guess you guys probably certainly hope that you're going to impact that in a positive way.
We do. You know, Utah actually, sadly, has just reached number 2 in the nation for opioid deaths. Ugh. And it's a huge crisis. And there is not enough help out there for people who are seeking it, not enough affordable care, not enough immediate care. And we definitely want to target that. One of our main goals is to offer that support, not even just for the addict, but for family members as well. Because so many people, they may know a loved one who started off with a surgery, and slowly that surgery turned into this addiction to pain pills, and that has gotten out of hand, and they don't know what to do because this isn't someone they thought would become addicted. And, you know, the other person saying, well, I'm in pain, and they don't know how to address that because the person is in pain.
Right.
So we're hoping to help that area as well.
Well, make sure people go check it out. You can find it at climboutnetwork.com. All the details and everything you need to know are there. And that's awesome stuff. At the end of the show, we'll remind people once again where they can go. Eric, you're a returning guest. You've been on here before. And people may not remember your voice because you're in a car and it sounds a little bit different. But last I talked to you, you seemed... like you were fresh off of doing a lot of editing for some reality shows that you didn't necessarily love editing for.
Oh, I'm back on one right now.
Oh, are you? Okay, cool. But for whatever reason, man, you are upbeat and in a car and ready to roll. I am curious about what rad project you're working on right now you can tell people about.
Right now I'm producing and editing for House Hunters International on HGTV.
Nice.
Oh, I feel a kinship because my wife has produced shows for HGTV in the past.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's cool.
Very cool.
So I started that last week, so I'll be on that for the next at least 6 months. The team I'm on is pretty great. They're churning out 4 episodes a week, delivering 4 episodes a week, which is
wow.
insane.
So, that's a lot, yeah. Wow.
You know, it's nice. It's fun right now, and, I just moved back. I just moved back from Los Angeles back to the East Coast. So,
that's awesome. And so I understand that the film you directed, Honor in the Valley of Tears, is doing a little bit of something with Harvey. Explain how that's going to work.
Yeah. So this for the month of September, every film that we sell on Amazon.com, you can search Honor in the Valley of Tears. 100% of the proceeds, minus Amazon's cut, of course, goes to the local American Legion in Crosby, Texas, where you've probably seen on the news, they were one of the towns devastated by Hurricane Harvey. And the American Legion Post is named after the subject of our film, the David H. McNerney American Legion Post. And, that's where he lived. That's where... a lot of his family is, and they were really devastated down there. And I've been on the news. There's some chemical plants blowing up and all kinds of craziness down there. And the American Legion has opened their doors, and they house something like almost 400. And so food and shelter and recovery, supplies, whatever amount, we can donate. We're certainly more than happy to do our part. So we're very excited to, lend
a hand where you can. Well, that's awesome. Honor in the Valley of Honor in the Valley of Tears is the name of the film. It's a documentary. It is still sitting at a pretty incredible 9.1 out of 10 on IMDb. That is a rare rating. Tom, you've seen it. You really liked it, right?
No,
I thought it was you that saw it. Who have I talked to?
I did. That was me.
Oh, you saw it. Sorry.
I get confused for Hammond's wife.
I know. You should see it when they're, America. Especially when they're in public. What do you think, Stacey, of the film?
Loved it. I mean, it is absolutely one of the best I've ever seen. It is just interesting, fascinating, very well done. Yeah. I, if you haven't already seen it, in addition to the fact that the proceeds are going to help Harvey, you should get it just to watch it. I mean, it's just fantastic. Really, really good.
For those of you who don't know what it's about a Medal of Honor recipient, David McNerney from, Crosby, Texas. And the men that he trained in the United States here during the Vietnam War, and eventually led all of those men into a bloody yet forgotten battle. And their story is really incredible. And their brotherhood and their bond really is powerful, and they're telling telling the recounting of their story is basically what the documentary is about. So, you know, it's been a film that's helped a lot of veterans heal. And, you know, that's what we're most proud of. I had, as a matter of fact, we were at their 50th reunion in March, and I had Ives come up to me, and she said, you know, this film saved my marriage.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, really? And she's like, well, it opened him up. He never spoke before. We never talked about the war. He was always closed off. He was this, he was that. He became a better husband. He became a better father. That's what you do it for. Yeah. I mean, that compliment, like, shook me.
Yeah.
I totally believe it. It really gave such insight into what the soldiers, the veterans, when they came back or now are coming back from war, what their mentality is like and why. It was really powerful. It really gives you a good view of, you know, what happened and how they are the way they are now. It was very powerful. I very highly recommend it.
Well, for those who want to grab it, again, use Amazon and the money will go toward Harvey, which they need it bad.
Man, we've got a lovely healing theme going on here, like destigmatizing addiction, helping people get help, bringing attention to the issue of veterans, while at the same time the proceeds benefiting the folks in Crosby, Texas, and hurricane relief.
Yeah.
This is all good stuff.
That's pretty great. Well, I'll tell you what, let me ruin that by doing the pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
Hey guys, before we move on, a reminder that this episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Aero. E-E-R-O. Aero. Single router model just doesn't work for our increasingly high bandwidth world. I can tell you that is absolutely true for me. It's simple physics. Like light waves, Wi-Fi waves don't go through walls well. Imagine asking a light bulb in your living room to light your master bedroom. It's a really good example of how this works. With Aero, you can install an enterprise-grade Wi-Fi system in your home in just a few minutes. Simply download the Aero app to your iOS or Android device, and it'll walk you through each step of the process. Quick, easy, and painless. So here's the deal. We're excited to tell you about their big introduction. They are introducing the second generation Aero and Aero Beacon. Aero Home Wi-Fi system started in early 2016. Since then, they have learned from hundreds of thousands of systems, making them smarter, faster, and more reliable. The new Aero second generation and Aero Beacon allow a customer to build a Wi-Fi system that is more perfectly tailored to their home than ever before. They offer more speed and range in the same high-quality, elegant design that people have come to expect. With the addition of the third 5 gigahertz radio and the second generation Aero is now tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets customers do more simultaneously in every room of their home. Doesn't even matter how big that home is. And with the new addition of the thread radio, Aero can connect to low-power devices such as locks, doorbells, other sensors, and more. Expanding your coverage in any room is easy with Aero Beacon. Simply plug it into the wall and you're covered. You can add as many Aero beacons as you want. If there's an outlet, there is Wi-Fi. It's as simple as that. Plug it in, boop, you're done. I've been using Aero and I love it. Tom and I have talked about Aero a bunch on other shows as well. It is a quality system. It's really, really great. And compared to what I used to do, it's not even close. I mean, my gosh, how did I live before? Anyway, here's what I want you to do. For free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada, visit Aero.com. That's E-E-R-O.com. And check out. Select a overnight shipping option. All right. Then you enter the Current Geek code to make it free. So whatever that overnight option is, you use the Current Geek code after that, and it will be free shipping overnight. We thank Aero for their support of the show. All right, it's time
let's begin a competition.
It's the pop quiz. Eric's been down this road before. Stacy certainly knows of it, but we are going to play a little game with you guys where we test you in areas of your expertise. These topics are provided by Hammond. They were questions devised by Mike Icewarm Boyd.
Oh, wait a minute. Conflict of interest here.
Yeah, totally. You're going to go. If something goes weird with the score today, you know why. If you get an answer right, you'll hear this. When you get it wrong, you'll hear this. And we're going to start with Eric this time. Eric, here's your I don't know if you were a returning champion, if you won the last time you're here or not, but you are going to go first. Yeah. Oh, you did. Okay, good. Returning champion Eric Dow, everybody, with Dream Theater trivia. Apparently, you're also a fan of the band, I guess, right? You like the band?
I am a mega fan, yes.
All right, good. Hammond and you get along just fine. What year did Dream Theater release their first, or their debut album, rather, called When Dream and Day Unite? What year was that?
I believe it was 1986.
You are incorrect. It was 89.
Wow, okay.
I wouldn't have any idea, so you would have done better than me. Tom, we're good. You don't have any special points to award for being in the right decade.
You know me, I'm not shy.
Next question. Only two of the original members of the band have been in the band since they formed in 1985. Which members are they?
John Myung and John Petrucci.
You are correct. Well done. Those are your well two done. Guys. Yeah. Petrucci. I wonder if that's he's related to Callie Lewis. Yeah. Be interesting. Anyway, next question. What record label was Dream Theater originally signed to in 1988?
Ooh.
I've never heard of this record company, so I'm no help. I can't even give you a good hint.
You know, I don't know.
All right, that's going to give you a big... It's Mechanic Records, whoever that is.
Well, you're going to get a point for honestly answering that you didn't know, then lose a half point for delay of game. It took a while.
Well done. Tom's a purist, unlike in baseball. Next one. Who was the lead vocalist for their very first album?
Oh, my God. His name is Charlie. Charlie.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
His last name.
You don't know his last name, but I think I'm still going to give it to you. Charlie Dominici, or Dominici.
Yes,
Dominici, I guess.
I mean, that's just another pronunciation of oh my God. So, yeah. That's
right. I'll give you a point for that. He was replaced as lead singer, by the way, in 91. Final question. Dream Theater has 13 studio albums. What is their most recent studio album? Its title is what we're looking for.
It is, wonderful. This is not one of my favorite records.
Mm.
And it is called, oh my God, I want to say Octavarium, but that's not right. It's, oh my God, I hate this record too. Shit, I forgot.
Oh man, I'm going to have to give you a buzzer on that one. It is called The Astonishing.
Oh, The Astonishing. Ah!
Yeah.
You're going to get 3/4 a point for acting astonished.
Yeah. It was very astonishing.
While answering. Yeah. You were almost there.
Yeah. Well done.
I'm terrible at this.
No, you did fine. I mean, you never know how these things are going to end. Those are your questions. We now switch over to Stacey. Stacey, I have trivia here. Your topic, as given by your husband, is Beyond the Playlist Trivia, his podcast with Brian Ibbett.
Wait, so we're asking Stacey questions about her husband's podcast?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that she must not listen to, I'm guessing.
Does anyone listen? No.
Shots, that's how it is.
Shots fired. I love it.
Just kidding.
No,
I don't.
All right, well, that's fine. That's totally fine.
I got a shot.
Yeah, you totally have a shot. So here's your first question. Peter Hammer was recently a guest. What band is he in?
I'm going to guess. I don't have any clue. Midnight. I have no idea.
Midnight, I have no idea, is the incorrect answer. The right answer is Victim of Illusion.
He's talked about them a lot. Okay.
I was going to give you a point for being honest about having no idea, but then you revealed that actually you should have had an idea, so you're going to lose a tenth of a point for that.
Next up, a member of Into the Nexus was recently a guest. Who was it?
I have no idea.
It is Kyle Ferguson is the correct answer. Kyle Ferguson, a co-host of Tom's
also. Oh, geez, I just typed his name in the computer.
Yeah. Hey, you did have an idea.
Yeah, he's on your Star Wars podcast with Tom. Next question. What year did Beyond the Playlist premiere?
Okay, so I'm going to go with 2014.
Oh my, look at this, everybody. She got it, nailed it.
Okay, good.
Well done. I would have said 2015. I'm surprised it's that far back.
I would have said that too. I would have said 2015 too.
Yeah, this time went real quick on that. Who was the first guest on Beyond the Playlist?
Oh, I know this one.
Apparently, was it Stacy?
No.
Justin Robert Young?
You are incorrect. It was Paul Warren. Paul Warren. I know it feels like Justin's on everything all the time, but in this case, no.
I'm going to give you a half point because Justin Robert Young is on everything.
Yeah, he's on my mind right now.
Yeah.
Final question, and this is the big finish here. Fairly early on the show, Brian Mazzaferri was a guest. Do we know what band he was in?
I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
Mazza, it's got to be Mazzaferri. Mazzaferri. Mazzaferri.
Mazzaferri,
yeah, no, it could be.
Yeah, Mazzaferri sounds right. Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's not Mushroom Head.
You are correct. but I got to give you one of those. The band is I Fight Dragons, is the correct
I'm answer. Sorry, but Scott said you are correct. And when the I host did. Says you're correct, you get a point. That's just the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, but what if I abuse that in the future? I could abuse that, you know.
I mean, you could.
I could, but should I?
Should you? No. I don't know. That's between you and your God.
I really All right. Zeus and I have decided I'm not going to do anything with that. But I will say that those were well answered across the board. You guys have done well. But Tom is the ultimate judge. How did they do?
Well, I imagine there might be some disputes filed with the league office here based on that final point awarding by Scott. Mm. But
yeah, that's some BS.
Following that principle, Stacy wins 3.4 to 3.25.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
That's just robbed. I feel like, oh, my God.
Yeah, even robbed.
She was stealing signs, using her Apple Watch.
Yep.
I feel like you were probably robbed, too.
Yeah. I think we're all.
She even admits we're robbed.
We're all a little robbed, honestly. At the end of the day, thanks, Hammond, for your part in robbing us. That's going to do it for the pop quiz. That leaves forecast.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
All right. It is forecast where we predict the future. It's actually based on an old podcast Tom and I used to do. Now it's a segment and it lives on. Tom, is this yours? Did you make this one?
No. I'm not sure who wrote this. They didn't sign their name.
Is this you?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, tell us all about your prediction. What's your what does the future hold for Stacy Chamberlain?
My prediction is that we are going to see a lot more online mental health visits. We might even see people using virtual reality to teleport themselves into their doctor's office.
Mm. Could that also include, it could include just about anything, right? Doesn't have to just be mental health. Can it be, look at this rash kind of stuff?
Yeah, like we could absolutely. I don't know if you can probably fix your pacemaker that way, but yeah.
Make sure you end up in the right office.
Is this a goiter here?
Yeah, is this a goiter? This looks like a goiter. I don't know. It's not enough polygons. We need three more generations ahead in VR to tell. No, I don't. As goofy as all this sounds, I actually am with you on this. I think that especially in the area of mental health, it makes a lot of sense. There's already ways to do all kinds of therapy situations. My sister, who's an actual therapist, the other day was telling us about a project that's going on. I forgot what school, but showing real promise that really teleports people into situations with facing their fears or even just relaxation and sort of meditation therapy and creating environments in virtual space that are conducive to all that stuff. And there's real science going on. So I think you're dead right on this. Do you think though, we're going to have to, before this becomes truly the most effective and widespread, these can't be big, bulky plastic metal monsters on our heads, right? Don't you think we have to get to a place where these things are lighter, smaller, wireless, you know, all that?
Yeah, kind of the Star Trek scanner, you know, kind of scans your body and then the other person can see. Yeah, I do
as well. Any other thoughts, Eric? You want to go to your doctor and across the world?
If this is a segment, you do predictions quite often, yes?
Mm-hmm. Show?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to dig into Rocky III and grab the Clubber. Do you have any predictions? Predictions. To open up this segment.
I forgot all about that. That's really
it's right up Scott's alley.
Yeah,
too,
no, I love that crap. I'm doing that before the next episode. Eric Dow has now redesigned Forecast forever and always. Well done on that. But how comfortable?
No, I don't eat, Balboa. I pity the fool.
You know, you do a really good Mr. T. It's impressive. I feel like I'd almost have. I feel like I'd have to give you drugs to get you on a plane. That's how Mr. Teat liked you. Well, anyway, yeah, this is an interesting idea. I mean, Tom, we've talked about VR to death on your shows and other shows and stuff, and I keep coming back to the medical practical uses of VR.
Oh yeah.
Whereas the industry seems so focused on games, I feel like it's not going to be that.
You know, they're also they're. I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, but their quarterbacks are now using VR to get extra mental reps after practice. So a rookie quarterback who's sitting behind a veteran can get reps by using his eyes, and the coaches can see where his eyes are going and correct that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, so there's all kinds of really useful things that VR is being used for.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. This
is like anything. When we talk about phones, everybody talks about social networks, right? Or Instagrams, but people are using phones in medical situations. I was going to physical therapy for shoulder injury. Guys using an iPad with a keyboard to do all these pictures and type in symptoms and all of that. I mean, all of this stuff gets used for lots of different things, and VR is not going to be any exception to that. It's got some great applications. This reminds me particularly of the novel Gateway by Frederick Pohl, which we read back in March for Sword and Laser, because the character goes to a virtual therapist in the novel. This was written back in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
But he's got a virtual therapist who's not only in virtual reality, but also a virtual therapist, like, in other words, an AI.
Mm.
You know, I could even see if you had ER doctors and there's an accident somewhere and they're going to use the VR to see the scene of the accident, see the patient, mm-hmm. maybe even an ambulance or at the accident as they're on their way in to prepare themselves for what's coming in.
Yeah, some of that's being done now locally. Talked to a paramedic friend of mine who said that they're testing. This isn't in full use, and I don't know what the rules are, but he, and I hope I'm okay saying it, I won't say his name, but they did some preliminary testing with essentially their body cams like cops wear, but they, when they get to the scene of an accident, they're able to dictate and show at least some sort of two-dimensional video surface level what's going on, what the scene looks like, what the patient's condition is, so that people at the hospital or at dispatch or whatever can make decisions.
Oh, yeah.
Based on what they're seeing, which
that's what Stacy's talking about, right?
Yeah,
there.
Same that's idea. Yeah, just same idea. So the only difference could be, I mean, imagine a place where we get where those cameras are also scanning the femur bone that we believe is broken, but we can't tell because, you know, their leg's not splayed open or whatever. And then that data is sent back immediately. And then there are people in a lab who are literally like stretching that bone out, looking at where the crack is. All right, it's only a hairline. You guys only have to do this, or you know, that kind of stuff doesn't feel that science fiction to me anymore. I feel like we could get there pretty quick. That's a great prediction. I like that one a lot. May our future embrace your fun idea. Your fun idea. It's not that fun, but you know what I mean? It's a good one. All right. Well done. If you guys have your own ideas for forecasts, sometimes you email those in. We get emails right here on the show at currentgeek@gmail.com. And today we got one from Charlie Capes. Is that right? Or Kappas? Probably Capes. Who says, "Dear Current Geek and guests, what future nerdy film are you the most excited about? I'll take the answers off the air, smiley face." All right. First of all, nice little radio joke there because he didn't really call in. Secondly, for me, it's whatever the Mad Max Fury Road sequel is. Whatever that is, the Furiosa-focused thing they're doing, that's, my heart is there. It more than anything else I can think of right now. So that's an easy one for me, easy answer. And it'll probably be the same answer until it comes out. So there's that. Tom, do you have a movie?
Well, so the one part of me wants to say Ready Player One, because I'm a huge fan of that book. But I'm also kind of been let down by books that have been made into movies, even when the movies are good, for a long time. So I'm a little skeptical. I'm a little mixed feelings about it. I'll be honest, I'm super excited for Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I just am.
Me too. I'm very excited about Rian Johnson's take on that world and universe, and he did not get fired, for the record. So he worked out just fine.
Good job, Rian Johnson.
Yeah, and he even said publicly, "I've never had more fun in my life, and I would be back on set right now if I could."
Well, maybe they'll bring him back for 9.
Let's hope so, because that guy got fired. Eric, do you have a movie you're looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I'm with you with Star Wars. But coming out shortly before that, and I might be in the minority here, but I'm excited for Justice League. Yeah. And I think that my excitement level has been reinvigorated because now my children see Wonder Woman and they proclaimed it to be their favorite movie ever. I have two girls. They loved Wonder Woman, and then I kind of used that momentum to show them Man of Steel and Batman Begins, just to give them a sense of who these characters were. And then we watched Batman versus Superman, and my daughter was Superman got killed.
Oh man.
She doesn't know the history in the comic books, and she doesn't know that he comes back. So she's going to be, I can't wait to look down at her when he comes back. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm most fired up about.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think that's great. I'm very excited to see what happens with that film too. I mean, Wonder Woman really nailed it, and I need them.
And you know what? Joss Whedon taking over for Zack Snyder, mm-hmm. albeit under some horrible circumstances, and I hope that the family's doing well, that Joss lightens it up a little bit, because my 11-year-old said after watching Man of Steel, and she's like, wow, there was really no joy in any of those movies.
Yeah, even kids know. They can tell.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. Well, especially compared to Marvel stuff, they just don't see it in the DC stuff. So there's a chance here, and that was definitely present in Wonder Woman. So yes, please, let's make that good. I am looking forward to everything everyone's mentioned. Stacey, do you have anything you've got on the horizon you can't wait for?
Mostly the same things you guys have mentioned. Justice League is definitely a big one that our family is looking forward to. Both of my daughters loved Wonder Woman as well, and Ham and I are big fans of Joss Whedon. So we're definitely ready for Justice League.
You missed the golden opportunity to say the next episode of Beyond the Playlist.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that too.
Oh man. Yeah. He's real. So the next time the test, you'll get it, you'll nail it. Cause you'll have listened to all of them from now on. I think this was Hammond's idea. I think this is the trick all the time, is he was just trying to get you to listen to a show. Don't feel bad though. I record like a million podcasts a week. My wife doesn't listen to a single one of them. So don't feel
bad. I'm in good company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Eileen's not listening to Daily Tech News Show every day, is she? No, of course not. They have better things to do with their lives.
Yeah, way too busy for that.
So there is zero judgment from us.
I have to look at every rough cut of every Rotten Tomatoes show she brings home. But
Exactly. And I had.
Well, you know, I always tell Hammond, I listen to talking all the time between kids and him and everything going on. So when there's no talking, I don't want to always turn it on either. So.
Especially when it's your husband. You hear from him the rest of the day. You don't need to hear more of him. I am 100%. Yeah. When my wife says, I can't listen to TMS, I'm like, I know. It's fine. It's totally fine. Yeah.
You have a great radio voice too. You kind of have that Demi Moore tone to your voice.
I agree. You do have a good voice. Yeah. And your laugh is incredibly addicting, by the way. I've said this to Kim when you guys were here at the house, and I forgot to mention it to Hammond, but you have this laugh that is ridiculously like, you just want to keep hearing it.
Infectious.
Yeah. Infectious is the word. There you go. It's like, I just didn't want to make it sound like a disease. It's a great laugh. You should use it as often as you like. Thank you, Charlie Capes, or Kappas, if that is how you say your name, for sending in that email. Again, that email address is currentgeek@gmail.com, and we love our emailers. That's going to do it. That's the show. Before we go, though, just a quick whip around the table to get web addresses and that kind of stuff. Stacey, remind folks where they can find the brand new show, the brand new network, and the brand new sobriety community.
The show is Climb Out to Sobriety, and our website is climboutnetwork.com. And if you enter Climb Out Network, I'm sorry, coupon code is Climb Out Geek, you can get 3 months of our gold membership for free, which is going to include not only our forum, but any webinars that we do over the next 3 months. And you can be a live participant in those. And we also are going to allow people to, we have some special podcasts that we're going to be releasing, bonus podcasts and other information. So it's Climb Out Geek for 3 months at www.climboutnetwork.com.
Very nice. Eric, tell people where they can find you online and track you down. IMDb, of course, but where else can they go?
You can find Honor in the Valley of Tears on Amazon.com. And our Facebook page as well. If you want to find us on Facebook, thehonorandthevalleyoftears.com, and that's about it.
Okay, cool. And next time you're out here for Sundance, let me know, and we'll hook up or something, try to have lunch or dinner somewhere or something.
The next time will be my first time.
Oh, really? Oh, you'll love it. It's awesome. The locals, we kind of sometimes sort of stay away from it because it gets crazy. But it's kind of awesome. They're going up there. It's usually snow. There's freaking Brad Pitt on the street. It's weird. Super weird. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Tom Merritt, anything you'd like to mention, sir, before we go?
Yeah, just real quickly. Sarah Lane, my old co-host from Tech News Today, wants to be my new co-host on Daily Tech News Show. So if you are interested in that or something called DTNS Labs, which allow us to do new kinds of episodes or a monthly roundtable show, we're doing a whole big Patreon push for all of those things at patreon.com/DTNS.
Go check that out. Part of that is Art Labs for me, which I'm really excited about doing art tech focused stuff. So
yeah,
get in there, help it out, support it. Sarah Lane's awesome and you guys all know it. So don't forget it. That's going to do it for the show. Thank you all for listening. CurrentGeek.com is our website. CurrentGeek on Twitter. CurrentGeek@gmail.com. And, of course, FrogPants.com for more shows like this. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we take a deep dive into the patent that Nintendo is accused of infringing in a Texas case, in only the way a patent attorney can do. A Texas jury found last week that the Wii Remote used with Nintendo's Wii and Wii U consoles infringed a patent owned by iLife Technologies. While the $10 million verdict will certainly be fought further in summary judgment and appeals courts, and thus is not a final decision, this is a significant potential blow for one of our favorite game companies. In patent world, inventions can be claimed broadly sometimes so as to cover future uses and expansions of those technologies. That is precisely what happened here. iLife Technologies developed motion sensing accelerometer technologies to advance their commercial products, which both monitor infants to help prevent sudden infant death syndrome, and monitor elderly adults for falls that require medical attention. iLife obtained 6 U.S. patents on innovations in this field, which were then used as the basis of this lawsuit. Nintendo challenged the validity of all those patents in post-grant review proceedings before the Patent Office, and that knocked out all but one of the patents, which is what Nintendo has now been deemed to infringe by the jury in Texas. U.S. patent number 6864796 is that patent, and it covers a system within a communications device and method of evaluating movement of a body relative to the surrounding environment. The broadest system claim requires only a sensor associable with the body, a processor that processes dynamic and static accelerative phenomena detected by the sensor, to determine whether a body movement is within an environmental tolerance, and communicating that tolerance indicia to an outside device in response to the determination. Claim language is a special kind of legalese, so what does that claim mean in English? In short, it covers any system that senses movements using accelerometers, and then determines and communicates whether those movements are large enough to indicate a specific type of movement beyond just environmental noise. In other words, exactly what a Wii Remote does when it detects intentional movements and communicates them to a console to interact with video game software. When the claims were interpreted and construed during the lawsuit, the broad, ordinary meanings of these terms were adopted by the court, rather than Nintendo's attempts to read the claims more narrowly onto fall detection devices only. Certainly, the narrower patent claims, which are on detecting movements, being body falls and the like, are not what Nintendo Wii systems do. But those broader claims are written to cover things like Wii remotes, even though that's outside iLife's normal commercial products and markets. And if you can prove novelty and non-obviousness over the prior art inventions for the broad concept, the patent will cover future devices, like how the Wii Remote is likely covered here. With Nintendo losing on claim interpretation, the most likely path to reversing the verdict would be to show clear error in that interpretation, or show that the patent is invalid and should not have been granted. As the 796 patent has already survived post-grant review, the chances look grim for Nintendo to avoid this verdict completely. The bottom line is, in technology fields, it is difficult to beat everyone to the patent office to file on truly innovative ideas, especially in view of the ability to broadly claim those ideas. By filing early and often with good patent counsel, iLife Technologies can protect their own life-saving devices from knockoffs, but also create revenue streams from other companies who use the same technology in their own fields. Needless to say, a $10 million verdict would pay off that investment and then some. It's also why clearance searching for new products is so vital to avoid mistakes like this, which Nintendo can probably afford, but others may not be able to afford. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.